Final hour, big race weekend of the Nashville Super Speedway starting tomorrow night. So keep that in mind for these airwaves, 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. We'll carry the Rackley Roofing 200 race tomorrow night starting at 6:30, the coverage. That'll be, of course, the truck race. Saturday afternoon, the Tennessee Lottery 250. That's the Xfinity race, coverage beginning at 2 o'clock. And, of course, Sunday will be the Cup race, the Ally 400, coverage here on these airwaves at 3 p.m. Also, Chase will have Chasing Checkers Sunday morning at 8 o'clock with some great interviews on that. So just keep that in mind for our NASCAR coverage right here on 102.5 and 106.3. It's presented by Backyard Blues Pools, Tootsie's Infield Club, Nashville Super Speedway, and the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Bill Haslam coming up in a little bit over 10 minutes from now. Another Brad in Paris, Tennessee, said he got gas for $2.78 a gallon. Of course, that was at Kroger, and he got $1.55 off per gallon with his Kroger points. That's cheating, Brad. We know we can do that. That's cheating with Kroger points. It's not what we're looking for. So right now, though, Paris, Tennessee does win. And we're not really getting anything. I mean, there was a Josh from White House that texted in, you know, that there's a speedway. What was it? Picture. He's got a picture of a 452. I mean, that's not great. So I don't think anybody's going to beat 409 in Paris. So, but if somebody can think of a place, let us know, and we'll figure out if is it worth the drive or not. The other big
how
news.
How close to Paris would you need to be for it to be worth it to drive to Paris to get the gas at
to load up? Yeah, you go on the empty tank and you fill her up.
Yep. You get there with it going, you know, with the thing flashing. You have no miles. You know, it doesn't that one. That could be a list precursor tomorrow. I've been thinking about this. Like when your tank starts hitting, you have one of those things that says, okay. The yellow light's on. It says you got 40 miles left or whatever. It pops up on the screen. How many times have you seen it goes from 40 to like zero all of a sudden? It starts blinking. It doesn't count down 39, 38, 37. At least mine doesn't. I want to put my car on the list sometimes.
Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute. It just told me 40. So surely I've still got 10, right? But it goes from 40 to all of a sudden flashing the dashes like as if you got nothing.
My computer, the battery life, it does that. It's like at 22%, and the next time, I mean, within a blink of an eye, it's at 3%. And I'm like, whoa, that was aggressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Like within a minute, and I have to plug it in or it's going to die.
Like we didn't go A, B, C, D. We went from right to A to F.
The other big piece of news today, Arch Manning, the number one recruit in college football in the 2023 class, has committed to Tejas. He's going to Texas. That is the son of Cooper Manning. By the way, there was a couple people that texted in and was like, that's the son of a guy. We were just kidding. We were just joshing, as they say. We were just having fun last hour.
Steve Sarkisian, think about where he's come from over the last 5-7 years, right? The reclamation project from Nick Saban, the fallout at USC. Now he's at Texas, kind of slithered down there.
Slithered down there, huh?
Remember, he was kind of a sly move that Texas all of a sudden, like, Sarkisian. They just made that swap. Remember, boom, it was, what's the guy's name? Mr. Everything that from Houston that was the bee's knees at Houston and then didn't go very well for him. I've already forgotten his name. That's how good he was.
Which is, by the way,
Tom Herman.
But that's been kind of the case with them. They've made the sexy hires that everybody thought was the no-brainers, and it hasn't really worked out.
Okay, you've got the Manning family that is a true royal family. Everybody loves the Mannings, but Arch Manning is going to a program that, let's just be honest, they're kind of like the Yankees. If you love them, you love them. But everybody really enjoys when they lose. They're a team that is, you know, they are an elite. They got all the money. They got all the advantages. So when they lose, there is a lot of, aha, Texas loss. I mean, how many wisecracks did SEC fans have at their expense after every game that they lost this past year?
Oh, yeah.
But Arch Manning wants to be the guy that turns it around down there. It's an interesting story. It's going to be a heck of a thing to watch.
Chose Texas over Georgia and Alabama. I can't imagine a Manning going to either. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Peyton
but you, could
Tennessee.
You really see him at Georgia or Alabama? I mean, that would have Tennessee fans and Ole Miss fans. I mean, like, he couldn't win with anybody in the SEC other than Tennessee or Ole Miss, probably.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, you got two family members that are Ole Miss, one at Tennessee. People probably would have understood one or the other, but he wants to go his own way. I admire that. But Texas, wow.
We're talking about this during the break. Didn't Cooper get hurt at Ole Miss?
I think that, if I remember
Elijah
correctly.
Elijah said, he's like, I thought it was in high school. And I was like, no, I think it was at Ole Miss.
That sounds right. He was a wide receiver,
yes.
I think?
Yeah, and it was
and
his
he had
back
a spinal, or, a spinal yeah. issue.
Yep.
Dangerous.
Back or neck or both.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you're going to be paralyzed if you take a hit like that again.
Yeah, it's just a very, very dangerous health risk if he had to continue to play.
But I couldn't remember, like, Elijah thought it was maybe high school, and I said, no, I think it was actually at Ole Miss, but I couldn't, but I wasn't 100% on that. But I think it was. But they're going to Texas, so there you go. That was a big piece of news. We've also talked about the Avalanche winning in overtime last night, marred with a little bit of controversy. Even with that being said, I'm sure you could say, well, that maybe that'll motivate the Lightning. They're going to be really mad. But I just think last night was their opportunity to really make this a series. I know both teams are banged up. I know Tampa is banged up. But both teams are banged up. I just think that was the game. They didn't get it done. And I just kind of feel like this thing is over.
Colorado, I have seen so many dominant performances by them in their building. I look at the state of the big question too is Chernak. If you tell me Chernak is out, Anthony Cirelli is really banged up. He was able to come back last night, but he clearly was not fully healthy. He's got something with the shoulder or the arm. You could see it happen. He really winced in pain. Those are two glue guys. If they're less than 100% or not available, I think it's over. I'm calling it. Colorado is going to close this out in game five, which would mean they would be 16-3 winning a Stanley Cup and knocking out the two-time defending champs in the final.
Yep, which would be unbelievable. It really would be.
That's not easy to. There's not a lot. Not a lot of teams who could match that.
Well, they'll go down as one of the best teams, you know, for a season.
Especially
NHL history.
For in the cap history,
yes.
For sure. Now I'm sure you can go back and find some Montreal teams when there were six teams in the league,
yeah.
You know. But since you have to win 16 games in the salary cap era,
I
would contend that's probably up there with anything anybody's ever done.
I would agree, and you may be able to make the case they have been the best. You could possibly. Especially
maybe.
If they close it out on Friday. Unnamed texter says that they think it was in high school. So we maybe need to check on that.
Okay. We'll
actually
have to do a little history.
Jess looked it up. It was in the summer practices while he was at Ole Miss. And it wasn't an on-field injury. He felt numbness in his hands and his feet. And they went to the Mayo Clinic in Minnesota and determined that he had spinal stenosis.
Okay. So it was officially when he was in college.
Okay. Correct.
Okay. So, okay. Well done. Thank you, Elijah. Crack staff on it.
Very nice.
I was getting ready to say, I need to hear, I need to get a second opinion.
Shout out the internet.
unnamed texter up in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, says gas is $4.35 there. So, okay.
Yeah.
That's not bad. It's not bad. You'll take it. If you saw $4.35, you'd be like, okay. It's not $4.25 like in one gas station in Smyrna. All right, we'll come back. Bill Haslam will join us next year on the program. Looking forward to that here on the DDC. 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Back here on the DDC here on this Thursday afternoon, Darren McFarland and Willie Donick here with you. We've told you all day we will be joined by Bill Haselman. He is now on the line with us, former governor, soon to be down the road, the majority owner of the Nashville Predators, and he now joins us. Bill, how you doing? Thanks for doing this.
I am glad to be on with you guys. Thanks for making time for me.
Yeah, we know your time is limited, so I'll get right to it. So Herb Fritsch spoke today. I know you spoke as well, but he was just talked about how this was when he approached you. I think the time frame he put out there was 6 months ago about this venture, that this was a pretty easy decision or yes on your part. One, is that true, and why was it such an easy decision to be a part of this down the road?
Yeah, three things. Number one, I'm like you guys. I'm a sports fan. I grew up playing sports all the time. I have a sports family. I love it. So it kind of helps to make an investment in something when you actually already love it. Number two, I'm really bullish on Nashville. This is a great city, and it's on a great path, and that's not going to change. And third, I like the way the Predators have kind of become a part of this community. I mean, there's no doubt that the fans kind of adopted and kept the team here 15 years ago. And since that time, they've kind of maintained, you know, while not the legal ownership, it clearly is a fans team, and that's how you want it to be.
Had you ever thought about this before those conversations started? Had you thought about this in the past, like you said, being a fan, watching this organization, being the governor, obviously, you know, you knew what was going on, but had you thought about this before Herb Fritsch approached you?
Yeah, I can't honestly say that I had spent a lot of time thinking about it. Like I said, I'm a fan, go to games, but I had never really thought about it all that much. And then Herb called and we got together for lunch and just kind of started conversations. To be honest, like I said, I hadn't spent a whole lot of time thinking about, I wonder if we could pull this off.
My wife did show me a picture, and I'm going to need you to confirm this, and I'm going to have to jog your memory. She showed me, when this kind of news was breaking, she had showed me a picture that she took of you and your wife sitting, I think, two rows directly in front of her and my son at the Stanley Cup Final in Section 113. Can you confirm, Governor, that you were there in attendance for the Stanley Cup Final?
I was, and I'm assuming if 113 is kind of up in the corner.
Yep, that's it.
I sat there that whole series, actually that whole round of playoffs. And it's funny, I still see people who sit in that area that you go to enough games together, you get to know them. So your wife is 100% correct.
Okay, well, she will be glad to hear this, that you can confirm that was indeed you guys sitting, like I said, about two rows directly in front of them. Maybe
that
a silly – great, and we all remember that. That's something we'll all remember forever, right? And hopefully we'll get to experience that again.
Yeah, I think that's the goal, right, is to get back there and, like, as I said, to have the guys in the yellow jerseys skating around the ice to hold the cup up.
This may be a silly question, but here it goes. You're a businessman. You've been the governor of the state. Those roles that you've possessed up to this point, do you think, you know, especially being governor, how can that help you when you transition into this role? Or is that something this is going to be something completely different?
I think it does in this sense. Number one, they're both public roles where you have to get used to people having opinions about you. You know, that's kind of, you know, your callers have opinions about who David Poyle should draft and what they should do with the organization or what the Titans should do at wide receiver, whatever it is, right? And so you do get used to that in the public role. So when you're governor, when you see somebody at church or at the grocery store or wherever, they have an opinion about what kind of job you're doing. So I think that's it, number one. Number two, you have a sense for the role that the Predators play in the bigger community. The Predators are a vital part of kind of the fabric of the community here, and you have a sense for how much that matters. And, you know, no secret to anybody, Nashville's been hot lately. there's a whole lot of things that are that are the reason for that. But the Preds are part of it, right? And the fact that this makes it a more attractive location, whether it's a family looking to move or a business looking to relocate.
Bill Haslam on the line with us. With that being said, do you, because you've been a public figure, do you think you'll be, when you get into this role, you'll be a visible part of this ownership group? Do you think you would do, like, talking to the media, doing shows like this? Have you thought about stuff like that?
Yeah, my sense is the appropriate role for the owner is not to be the person who's out in front of the media every day, but is it appropriate for the owner to be visible and to be interacting with the media on regular occasions? Yes, I think that's fair. I think that's fair.
Why is this process going to take, I think the numbers I've seen, 2 to 3 years for, I guess, it to all wrap up?
Sure. Great question. There's two reasons. The first is Herb Frisch, who's the majority owner now, was interested in selling but wasn't ready to totally exit the process. I mean, he is a super fan, has been a part of the ownership group since 2007, and he said, hey, you know, given my druthers, I'd rather stay involved and stay in a primary role for, you know, another couple of years. To be honest with you, that's not all bad from my standpoint either. I've got a lot to learn about hockey. I've got a lot to learn about the way the NHL works. And Herb is the kind of guy that you don't mind being a shared partner with. And the learning process, I think, is a good one for me. I told somebody, you have to have a lot of trust in someone to say that you'll buy their car from them in 3 years and let them drive it in the meantime. I have that kind of trust in Herb. And I think we'll begin working. Like I said, he's clearly going to be the chair for another period of time, but I think we'll begin working in partnership going forward.
Bill Haslam is on the line with us, our former governor, of course, and he is going to be joining the ranks of the Predators ownership group. And as we just sort of articulated, over the next 3 years, he's going to have a bigger and bigger role. Bill, I'd love to know, and I think our fans would as well, maybe the background, where you were and how you observed when this first started materializing, this current ownership group. You probably remember the day where it looked kind of bleak that the Predators may not be able to stick in Nashville. There was a threat of moving up to Canada. Do you remember those times much?
Oh, I for sure do. Like I said, I'm just like the people that listen to your show and you guys. I'm a sports fan. And 2007, you know, you probably remember Hamilton was at Ontario was actually selling tickets for the Hamilton Predators.
Oh yeah,
they were that close to gone. And you know, I was about a year away from deciding to run for governor, but I can very much remember that. And that was, you know, the ownership group that stepped up then, you know, I'm not doing anything heroic. I mean, those guys saved hockey in Nashville. And I'm walking into a situation where the franchise is in a whole different place because of what they did. There's nobody sitting here wondering, like, I wonder if hockey can make it in Nashville. You know, those days are gone.
No question about it. And so I think another thing people would be curious about, I would assume that you're like a lot of us, a big sports fan that over time, you know, really didn't start out with a big connection to hockey, but just have grown to respect and enjoy the product itself. So how much do you think you've learned to this point? And as you said, as you get more involved, you're going to learn even more about how the game works.
Yeah, no, I mean, fair point in some ways. I mean, I was a guy that in high school played football, basketball, and baseball. But I did, I laughingly told David Poyle, I played 2 years of Pee Wee hockey, so I know everything I need to know about hockey. that's a joke, I assure you. But it has been, you know, hockey is one of those games that it's an incredibly fun live experience. And the more games you go to in person, the more you love it. In any format, TV, live, anything. And, you know, the Preds, like a lot of us, you know, I was an interested fan and glad they were staying here. And then the 17 run took a lot of us from one level of fan to the other, and I would be in that category.
So as you got to sort of be around everybody today and start feeling it. I'm curious too. Have you found yourself keeping an eye on the Stanley Cup final, for example? It's been really exciting. Of course, the team that knocked Nashville out is now on the verge of winning the title here. So you kind of know where the bar is set.
Right. And of course, we knew then that they were a really good team. As you know, we came within a last second goal of not having to play them in the first round, which in hindsight would have been a really, really good thing. But last night's hockey game was a great game, right? I mean, overtime goal to win it. There was some controversy about whether the Avs had too many players on the ice, but that all makes for more interesting hockey. But I think it also shows, you know, while the playoffs, that first round of playoffs didn't go well for us, you know, as you said, we see where the bar is.
Before we let you go, I think people would be curious what's next in the process. I know there's a lot of things that transpire. There's the league. You go through I guess for lack of a better term, there's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. So what's next in the process for you?
Yeah. So a couple of things. Like I said, this news all came out before we meant for it to. It kind of got leaked out of the NHL process. So a couple of things. We actually have to get final documents between Herb and me. I'm confident we can get those done. And then we have to go to the NHL for formal approval. So I'm guessing we have another, you know, 2 to 2.5 months to get all that worked out. It'll be formalized and approved by early fall, I think. Hopefully, definitely by the time the first game comes up.
As we end this, just because we don't know you, and I know you've got time to still figure all this out, but do you envision yourself as like a hands-on owner, very involved? Do you think you'll be a guy that more stays on the periphery? Like, how do you operate in those settings?
Yeah, so I very much believe in everybody running in their own lanes. You know, the general manager doesn't need the owner telling him who to draft. But on the other hand, I think the owner's role is to set the standard and say, hey, our goal, everybody here's goal is to get to the Stanley Cup and to win the Stanley Cup. And so hopefully the owner is involved in, are we heading the right directions? What are the obstacles between here and, like I said, the guys in yellow skating around the ice holding up the trophy?
Yeah. Well, look, I think we're going to get along just fine. You just came on here and talked about Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final with us for about last night and overtime. So I think moving forward, we're going to get along just great. Thanks for doing this, and we're looking forward to getting to know you a lot better down the road. So really appreciate you doing this.
Well, thanks, and appreciate your support and coverage of the Preds. Like I said, the Preds have become part of the community, and you guys and the role you play are obviously key to that as well. So thanks.
No doubt about it. Thank you very much. That is former Governor Bill Haslam, soon to be down the road, the majority owner, and who's going to join this ownership group. And that was good stuff there. We'll react to some things you heard on the other side, and we'll do that next here on the DDC. 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. Now, was that promo just in the rotation, or did you slide that in there, Elijah?
Purely coincidental.
Wow. We come out of the interview with Bill Haslam with a Philip Forsberg promo.
It's a sign.
Is it a sign? Is it a sign? Good stuff. Back here on the DDC, appreciate former Governor Bill Haslam for joining us. What were your thoughts from that interview?
Well,
anything stand out?
I sensed the things that jumped out to me were, number one, I think you could see a genuine enthusiasm that for him as he said it, you know, he's a former athlete. He's always loved sports. I think that was clear of things that we already knew, but he's really grown to love the Predators. It's made an impact on him, what they've done in the community and the magical ride that we had a few years ago that sort of took everybody to a new level. That's something we've talked about a lot in our market over the last 5 years, and he is one of those people. And then the other thing that I thought stood out as much as anything is he wants to win. And so he's not getting in it just to save the team or anything. He wants to take it to a new level. He wants this franchise to win a championship for Nashville and for our area. And so I thought, you know, I think for a lot of people, that's all they really want to hear. A guy that cares, a guy that wants to jump in and make it happen.
Well, and he's got the deep pockets to help with that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, look, everybody wants everything to be on stable ground and to be, you know, a good business model. And that's what they've been. I mean, that is the other part of this that's really changed over the years. We know our market has changed, but really the Predators from the business side of things has changed. And we've talked about this in the past. Remember during the lockout year, remember when we used to get on the air and we would read like the scheduled events at, it wasn't Bridgestone Arena at the time, but at the arena at the time, and there was like literally nothing going on.
Right.
Nothing.
It was slow.
I mean, it was like three events in a month. And we're like, what in the world? Like, how are you going to make this work? And now you look at the arena, and it's one of the most, you know, popular arenas in the country as an activity. It's named, it's always put on the list of, you know, winning awards left and right. And when there's not a hockey game, there is, it feels like always something going on. And so they have been a healthy, stable business franchise, right? I mean, they've been making money and been able to compete at a certain level. And we've never, it's been a good while since we've had the discussion on here. Sure, we'd love to have that guy, but can't afford him, right? When's the last time we brought that up? When's the last no chance, could never get him?
That you have to credit this current group that we have, Herb Fritch on down, Tom Cigaran on through the ranks, that they have taken us out of that area and into an elite status, right? They are a very healthy franchise that has just gone through a pandemic and come out the other side.
Yep.
And I sensed a lot of respect from Bill Haslam about this group. And
no,
that's
question.
Why I think he said, look, I was glad to join forces for 3 years as we transition here and I become the majority guy. But I think he wants to learn from this group. He wants to work with this group. And I think that's a good thing. The other thing I liked, and I remember vividly, Tom Cigaran saying this very thing when he took over. He said, I immediately learned what I didn't know. Mm-hmm. He said, I got in there and I went to some of these meetings as the chairman, and I realized pretty quick, I have some things to learn. So I need to get some people around me that can help me. And so I think Bill Haslam has that same, he said that same thing. He goes, I got to learn some things, right? As we go forward here, he wants to add to what this group has already done.
By the way, I thought that was a great line and a great example to use, right? He said, how many times would you trust somebody that you would buy a car and let them drive it for 3 years?
Yeah.
That's a really good point. I didn't really think about that.
By the way, I'm not going to drive your – you're not. I don't think we would do that for each other. We're good friends, but I don't think we would set up that deal, right? I'm going to buy your car in 3 years?
That doesn't sound like a normal deal,
not,
right?
Yeah,
that's not typical. I'm going to buy your house right now, but you can live in it the next 3 years and then I'll move in. Or I'm going to buy your car right now, but you can drive it the next 3 years and then I'll take it from you. Yeah, that's not typically how it works. But to your point, what you were just laying out there, look, he's got a lot to learn. Like, it's one thing to be a fan, right? It's one thing to go to the games. It's no different than us. I mean, we started out, you started in a different capacity than me, but I started out just going to every game. I mean, just would go as a fan, right? There was a time frame when I bought season tickets for years just to support the team to make sure they stayed here. I didn't buy season tickets. We had tickets everywhere at the radio station we were at the time, set right in front of you every game. And, you know, but it's not the same. You're there working. I'm just there having fun, right? I mean, like everybody else. But then you transition into a different role and you realize that you then consume games completely different. And that's going to be really no different for him, right? And it's obviously different than broadcasting, but, you know, he's going to be transitioning, taking in, consuming games in a different role. And there's a lot to learn with that. A lot. And I think my vibe from that conversation, he knows that. He knows that. So I don't know how this could be a bad thing. It's somebody that's here. It's somebody that's local. It's somebody that's in the community. It's somebody with deep pockets and somebody who's a fan of the organization. What's the bad? What am I missing? Where could this go wrong? I just was trying to get a vibe of what he was like, going to be like as, you know, majority owner, because we have had this talk, and that's why I asked the question, like, do you basically envision yourself, like, we don't really know you, so are you like a hands-on? Are you in the middle of everything? Is that the way you're going to operate? Are you going to, you know, are you not like that? So just to get a vibe, because, you know, we discussed a lot about the Athletic article that Adam Vinken put out there at the end of the season, and one of the things was about, would you like to hear from the ownership more, right? And, you know, I did think of our conversation with Butch Spiridon just not too long. What was it? Within the last week. And do you remember him using the line? When was it? Like Friday of last week, I think?
Yep, last Friday.
Yeah. Do you remember him saying when we brought this up? That's right, it was. It was on Friday because the news had broke Thursday night. And, of course, Bill Haslam did put out there that, like we had already learned, that was not supposed to be out yet. So Sportico, I guess, beat everybody to the punch and put this out there before they wanted it out there. But if you remember Butch Spiridon, I mean, remember, think about the role he's been in for a very, very long time. I mean, you talking about the finger, he has his finger on the pulse of the city of Nashville and in the middle of everything. He said he really didn't have much dialogue or interaction with Bill Haslam when he was the governor, but has had a bunch since he's been governor. Do you remember that?
Yep.
So that's kind of, and here we, you know, here we are. He's not the governor. We never had him on when he was the governor. He never came on the show when he was the governor. And now transitioning into this role, we just had him on the show and hopefully more times to come. But I was just trying to get a feel of what, you know, what type of owner do you think, you know, how are you going to be when it comes to stuff like this? How involved will you be? And because most owners, and what did he use? Choosing the lane, right? Which we talk about on this show a lot. You know, everybody knowing their lane to be in. And I thought that was a good line to use. But I am going to be curious moving forward how that angle, that particular angle plays out. You know, especially at times, like, think about what we're talking about. Philip Forsberg. Let's say he was already in that role. Like, how involved would he be? Obviously, an ownership group has to have involvement, but truly, how involved? You know, is it the, does he stand up in a room and go, look, make it happen no matter what? Or this is as far as we'll go no matter what? You know, I would love to know how those dynamics will be behind the scenes.
I think there are times where, you know, if the process is working well, you know, the somebody from the organization, whether it be the GM or maybe it's Sean Henry, the CEO, goes to the owner and says, what do you think? You know, here's, so there are times where they're going to solicit his opinion as the chairman. It's happening with Herb Fritsch right now. And you could throw it right back if you're the chairman and say, you know, I put this on you. You guys, I don't have a strong opinion, or maybe you do have an opinion. I can remember one time that Craig Leopold basically told David Poyle what to do. And actually, there's a second time after he decided to sell it. But he said, I want you to go get Peter Forsberg, right? There's a lot of people going for him. We need a splash. I want you to just make this happen. I don't care what you give up, but I want you to do it. That's the only one I ever heard, really, where Craig Leopold, for example, went to David Poyle and said, this is what I want you to do. And then, of course, after he decided to sell, he ordered David Poyle to break the team down, which set the team back a couple of years for sure. But as we know, part of the great part of that story was how they persevered through that.
Yep.
Despite having to trade Thomas Vokoun and Scotty Hartnell and Kimmo Tiiminen and let Paul Kariya go. I mean, it was sad, right? It was a tough time, and everybody had this franchise marked for a goner. But we got through it, got stronger as a hockey market because of it.
We will come back and put a bow on Thursday's edition of the DDC, and we'll do that next. Well, it's not yet, Jim. We're almost there, but it's not the end just yet. We'll get there. By the way, congratulations to OVC Commissioner Beth DeBush. Did you see this? She's been named to the NCAA Board of Governors, so quite an honor for her. She, I think it's just a group of 9 or 10. And so good for her. Yeah. And I was looking at the list of the people that are on the NCAA Board of Governors. One that stood out to me, Grant Hill. How about that? Who is the co-owner of the Atlanta Hawks. But Grant Hill was on the NCAA Board of Governors. So anyway, congratulations to OVC Commissioner Beth DeBush on that honor. Rebecca on our text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. I think this is a great thing for the Predators. The fans have wanted an ownership voice, and he is willing to be it. He is pro-Nashville. He is pro-community. He is pro-sports. As a mega Preds fan, I'm excited. So there you go. Rebecca is pumped. It's kind of like what we were talking about. I don't really know what would be the pushback on this not being a good thing. And, oh, by the way, he adds deep pockets to this ownership group, which also, again, is never a bad thing. Just ask John Ingram, who certainly got deep pockets, and he is the owner of the Nashville SC, and he brought in, what, more deep pockets. Has that been a good thing for Nashville SC? Oh, I would say so. Have they been competitive since they've been here? Yeah,
right,
I would say so.
Right from the start.
Yeah, they have been nothing but competitive, so I don't think that is a bad thing. Unnamed texter. No, this is Dylan on our text line, says, did you guys hear that Arch Manning committed to the University of Texas? No. Tell us more. Who is he?
Arch Manning.
Any relation to Danny Manning?
I don't know. Is that he's going to be playing basketball at Texas? Arch Manning? Danny Manning's kid? Is that who he is? No?
I'll tell you what.
We better let people know we're kidding because we'll start getting...
When you take a look
at the... No, that is the son of Cooper!
When you take a look at the wave of tweets since that news came out, and I guess, I mean, it was Arch himself that tweeted out, I'm a Longhorn. Man, has it been something to watch?
Viral is a word that comes to mind today. It has been... It is what's... you hear, you know, what's trending... That's what's trending. That's all everybody's talking about in the last couple of hours. It has been unbelievable. Of course, you know, the Manning name certainly has clout, right? And anything they do is going to get a ton of attention, and certainly Cooper's son, Arch, who is the number one recruit in the country in 2023, he has chosen Texas over Alabama and Georgia. Now, of course, by 2025, Texas will be in the SEC, so it is interesting as...
So in theory, that would be his junior year, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep. Which would make him still...
If it doesn't happen before that, is there still some possibility that it could happen before? I remember last year we were speculating that they might get kicked out and therefore join the league earlier, but I haven't heard much about that.
I was going to say, I haven't heard that, yeah. I have not... I've not heard that either. So, like, that's been pretty quiet for a while, right?
Yep. So that would be something. He makes his mark in the Big 12 and then leads Texas into the SEC as a junior. It just looks like it's got all the potential to have a lot of drama one way or the other, right? Everybody's going to want to see, is he legit? Every five-star quarterback probably has that on his shoulders to some degree, but he's going to be different, right? I can remember being probably in my second or third year, I think. I guess it would have been my second year as part of the sports talk show when Peyton Manning was a true freshman. And some people probably remember it like it was yesterday. Others may have forgotten. Remember, he was sort of trading off. Todd Helton ended up starting some games that year. When Jerry Colquitt got hurt in the first game at UCLA, and then all of a sudden they're rotating three different quarterbacks in there. I'm even struggling to remember the name of the other guy, Brandon something or other. Wood, Brandon Wood. Do you remember him? But for a while, there were two freshmen besides Todd Helton who got hurt and was playing baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And Peyton Manning wasn't even the entrenched guy for a few weeks.
Nope.
And he was a pretty ballyhooed, you know, commit. So I don't know if Arch Manning is a day one, snap number one starter or
yeah,
what.
Good,
but, I
mean, good luck with that. Yeah, the number one recruit right. in the country, although we were also remember the last number one recruit in the country.
It just works different than it was, yeah.
It happened on our show, just like today. He announced he was going to the last number one recruit in the country, quarterback, remember? Justin Fields announces he's going to?
Georgia.
Georgia. And that was during our show, and we were like, huh?
What? Yeah, they already had two other guys.
Why would he be going to Georgia? They have a freshman and a sophomore quarterback that are kind of entrenched there.
Yeah. Remember Joe Burrow didn't win the job at Ohio State. There's all kinds of stories about quarterbacks who end up going somewhere else. So I'm sure it won't be more than a couple hours before Vegas has odds with Arch Manning stay at Texas.
I'm going out on a limb. He'll be the day one starter.
Okay.
He will be their guy. Like you, there is so much. Think about how much hype today. They got to wait till the following season, not this year coming up, another year. Like there's no way they'll be able to get out from underneath that. He's going to be the day one starter.
But remember, Peyton and Eli were both not day one starters.
I'm going to predict Arch will be. Kyle on our text line says, Manning better be careful. Texas has been in that brown area for a while. That is true. They're looking to get out of the brown area. Keith on our text line says, that is Horseshaw.
Oh, I thought it was through, Darren.
No.
It's not over yet, I guess.
It's not over yet. We'll probably have to get through tomorrow and through the weekend before we move on from Shaw and Sure and the gray area and the brown area. I'm just saying.
The Shawshank Redemption.
The Shawshank. What was it? Shawshank Redemption? Yeah, that was good. That was good. All right, that will do it for our show today. Man, fun show. Fast. Hopefully tomorrow will be just the same. We've got some good stuff already in the books. Richard Deitch, we know, will join us. We'll have a great conversation with him in the first hour tomorrow. Don't forget, Kevin Bieksa will join us at 11. We're certainly looking forward to that as well. And you just made the list at high noon. Stay cool. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll talk to you tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. See you then.